Thank you for downloading this podcast. The A to Z of Human Performance consists of 25 live shows that were broadcast in January 2021. The book, The A to Z of Human Performance, written by Jonna Sercombe, Emma Wiggs, and Steve Eaton, contains a lot of the topics you'll hear in the coming episodes, and it's now out, so you can get your copy at the Amazon Kindle store. Without further ado, here's the podcast.
You're listening to the A to Z of Human Performance live show weekdays at 13:30 GMT with Chris Lissman and resident expert Jonna Sercombe. Please enjoy responsibly. A to Z live shows.
It's the final show.
Final show of the series.
Can't believe it. We've been through, right through, A to Z.
Over a month.
25 shows, yeah.
We've both missed a couple, one or two. Yeah, you only missed one actually. I had to miss two.
Yeah,
it's been great.
It's been really enjoyable.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your company.
Thank you for yours. You've been our resident expert for nearly all of the shows.
We've achieved a lot in the month as well. We did get our book to number one.
Yeah, books are hot new release on Amazon. And available now in paperback and ebook.
Multiple listeners and many tens of listeners and subscribers.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've not yet gone viral, have we? But
not quite. But you never know when it might do that. We've got two more topics to wrap up: Y and Z, yarns and Zs, stories and sleep. Let's start with stories. Why are stories important for high performers?
Stories, everything, Chris. I mean, go into your brain, everything you ever can remember, make sense of, is all in there.
Yep.
It's pretty much all coded as stories. Our ability to understand the world. Identity. Who are you? Well, let me tell you, I was born here. My parents are these people. I did this. I did
that.
The
narrative.
Our identity. What are your hobbies? Well, I really like this hobby. Why? Well, let me tell you, everything is story. The Gestalt psychologists talk about the figure and the ground, the foreground and the background, but everything that happens to us in the foreground is against the background tapestry. I mean, so, how we make sense of the world is through story and through finding our place in the story. It's how we train and teach the little children about how life works. It's what we look for inspiration in following our heroes. It's how entertainment works. Gaming, as an example, puts you in the center of the story as an active player. The movies, obviously, you're imagining yourself in the story somehow. Mm-hmm. But life is one great big narrative, isn't it? And those of us who can influence the story can have a great impact on our lives.
Yeah, and should we be influencing the story of ourselves and the people around us? Is that something we can be proactive in?
Well, I think someone once said to me that the type of books you read say a lot about who you are, who you think you are as a person. What kind of books do you read, Chris?
I read self-improvement type books. Don't read a massive amount of fiction.
Yeah.
Biographies.
I'm currently reading about a Second World War pilot, but I love a hero story and tackling adversity and getting there. So, I mean, you could say seven basic plots. That's the Christopher Brooks argument. Overcoming the monster.
Mm.
Your life. I mean, some people battle against alcoholism or, their past, overcoming the monster. Rags to riches, started with nothing. Look where I am now. I would love that. I'm thinking about that. But, some people's story is how they have overcome their limited background and gone on to be successful. The quest, setting out on a long journey, battling obstacles, innovating, entrepreneuring, and arriving in a new place. Thinking Frodo, The Hobbit. That kind of thing.
Yep.
Voyage and return is our. Some people actually, they set out on their life. I've got one friend who's got a family farm in Scotland. His life story is out. He's going to come back. His parents don't at the moment. When he's going to go out voyage, he's lived in different countries, but he's eventually going to return to home. That's some people's life story. comedy. I've got at least one friend like this currently now living in LA, directing movies and things. But or tragedy, you know, there's people that that's life is a sequence of very difficult events. Or one of my favourites, rebirth. You know, we start off our life in a certain way, and then we're somehow reborn as someone else. In fact, my mum had a really interesting experience in her life where she had her kids early. And when I started my first job, age about 22 or something, she started her first proper job, age 45 or 50. And she had a rebirth experience, and she's gone on to have the most incredible career that she never dreamed of. And she said to me the other day, I feel like a kind of, almost like a different person in a way, because, you know, what's happened over those 20 odd years she'd been doing that job. So yeah, there's some story is a big part of our life, our life's narrative.
Yeah, so we will see these types of stories play out in our life, and different moments in our life will match up with key elements in the story.
Yeah, and our work performance and our career and our choices that we make a part of that, but it's also the environment that we're in and what's possible in our environment. I was reading the papers this morning. In the last 10 years, there's been up to 50% youth unemployment in Italy. So, you know, what is the story of the youth there? What's the hope in that country? Like I was, when I was growing up, it was a narrative, you know, work hard at school, go to university, get a good job, try and progress and see where you can get to. Yeah. Like if you're really successful, you get to the top. Imagine if there's 50% youth unemployment. What's your story? Go to university. Great. But maybe there's no jobs market. Still living at home. No income. Like the story, if that's a really difficult story to escape, maybe it's a rags to riches, then you've got to try and work out how you can escape from that.
Yeah. And so we can help ourselves understand where we are in the world, where we are in our career, by knowing the story that's going on us and perhaps shaping that.
Ourselves. Yeah, I think, and trying to, yeah, I mean, the rags to riches will be a good example. That's a story, really. Maybe it needs to be a voyage in return. Maybe you need to escape your situation. I'm sure, as we've seen so much, the guys from Italy and have had to move to other parts of the world to get a job. So that narrative, maybe they aspire to be back home one day and they've gone off to try and make a living. We see it a lot with migration, don't we? Lots of people coming to wealthy countries. You know, when I'm working out in the Middle East, there's a lot of people who are working in Dubai, sending money back to India or the Philippines, and they've got this kind of escape story that they're working in. And we would look at it and say, this is really challenging, but they know they've got a good job, and that whilst there are difficulties and it's really hard, they're actually doing the right thing for their family. They're being able to send money home.
Yeah. And thinking about your role in business and the business leaders you work with, how does narrative play out in the business world?
Well, I'm probably ironically not the best at this, because I don't know. I'm living the story. I'm probably quite emotional about my stories, but I think good business leaders are able to set out a narrative and a journey. And one of the clients we work with is a consulting company. They've got a fabulous story of how their business has evolved, and they've got a good story of where it's going. And people talk a lot about vision, don't they? And having a vision for where your organization might go. But yeah, if you can, the process of employment is about enrolling other people onto the story that of what your company or your organization is trying to do. And doing so in such a way that they give their best efforts and energy to it, become believers, put their heart and soul in. You know, that's what we're trying to achieve when we're trying to motivate a team.
So that can be really helpful to bring a team together and get them to put their all into a job and into a goal.
Yeah, and that story, the ability to be part of the story, to shape the story, I think is extremely motivating. It's why tech startups, you know, the whole culture of startups is exciting, is because you might have a job role where you can shape the story, and that creates a kind of life energy to feel that you're making something. Some people just want a job, but for many people, they'd like to be trying to make something and direct something. But in bigger companies, we try and persuade people to do that on a project level or a job role level, pass down the ownership and responsibility so that the individuals themselves can write the story and can take that job where it needs to go.
Yeah. Okay. And then, were you going to add something?
I was just going to ask you, what stories you're writing at the moment, what you're hoping to achieve, do, shape? Is it creative? Is it success? Or
All right. Yeah, I think it's at the moment being in lockdown and thinking through the year ahead, hopefully getting back to something like normal. I think there's a story there from, it's kind of rags to riches, I guess, of being in a rubbish situation, but thinking about where you could get to by the end of the year. And I think, yeah, trying to achieve success and achieve your goals. And then looking back and thinking, we started the year not even being able to hug each other. It's quite a motivating thought.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, I mean, the vaccine story, as I've said before, is phenomenal in this country. And yeah, the hope that comes through a great story. Yeah, suddenly we can endure weeks or months more lockdown knowing that there's a hope.
Yeah.
Hope so powerful.
It is powerful. And yeah, in so many stories. It's the key that keeps the hero carrying on. And
makes it persevere.
Yeah. Let's move on from stories to sleep then. Sleep Zeds is our final chapter that wraps up the book. We talked a bit about sleep on the show before. Why is sleep so important for high performance?
Well, I've worked with Steve on this over the last couple of years. He's really, really expert at this. You know, human beings need 8 hours sleep every 24, roughly. And first thing I learned from him is you don't have to have them all in one go. So that was helpful for me when I'm flying around the world, thinking, actually, do you know what? A couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there. Okay, great. No jet lag. We mentioned that before. But sleep's fundamental. And a lot of biological processes take place when we're asleep, resetting of the brain, processing, helping us reset, rewire in our REM sleep, you know, playing through what's happened to us and making sense of it. And we need sleep fundamentally to be at our best. On a physical level, we can deal without a night's sleep. And I think I mentioned that before also, that Emma said, you know, the night before a big race, you might not sleep, but your body's still as fit as it was the day before. So you might not feel super optimal, but it's not going to affect your VO2 max or your power output.
Yep.
It's a fundamental to us as much as water. If we don't sleep, eventually we will die. Pretty important. And I think in our kind of current highly connected and digitized world, an anxious world, there's a lot of people who'll be struggling to sleep, and understanding how to sleep well and the value of sleep, I think, is great.
Yeah, I think we often think of it as wasted time, as just switched off time that essentially doesn't matter. But what we're saying is it's actually essential. The body is doing essential work whilst you're in that switch off state.
Yeah, maybe we should have road cones and essential maintenance in progress. I think for certain people, I think what actually happens is they show up that they're not fulfilled in their day and vicariously fulfill themselves at night.
Mm.
Therefore, end up staying up late and watching TV and doing all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's easy with Netflix. It just puts the next show on, doesn't it? And if you don't move quickly enough, you're already watching another episode. And yeah.
But I think like on a deeper level, you can't fulfill yourself through TV or recreation if you really don't enjoy all the other hours. I think sometimes that's why people stay up late, is they're trying to cram more in today. But I've always been of the go to bed early, get up early and enjoy tomorrow. That's more like a value for me. So yeah, sleep's pretty important. And we talked about this a few times though. Sometimes the more you focus on something, the worse it gets.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a big whole sleep hygiene movement. Do you wear an eye mask?
I don't know.
See, I do wear an eye mask.
I would on a plane if I was trying to get some sleep.
We don't have any curtains in our bedroom because I like
you to just use the eye mask.
I just use the eye mask because there's less material than curtains.
They're cheaper.
Yeah. But I mean, I know some people, you know, it's eye mask. They've got to have a certain pillow. They've got to have certain earplugs, and you know, so you might want to try and think about how to be a flexible sleeper and a good sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain military techniques actually that the army teach how to get to sleep in 2 minutes anywhere, but knowing what to do when you're feeling that you can't sleep is also very helpful.
Yeah, that is helpful.
Chris,
sorry,
what do you do if you can't sleep?
If I couldn't sleep, I'd probably get up and get out of bed. I don't like that feeling where you're just sort of tossing and turning and your mind clearly just wants to be awake, so you need to do something to trick it. And I know you, when I've been away on trips with you, you'll know that the body just needs to release cortisol. Is that right? When you when you're staying awake.
Yeah, well, if you are stressed, it will sometimes stop you sleeping, but sometimes that movement will help. Mm. But actually, no, you're right. Movement really helps. If you can't drop off to sleep, go and have a reset. Mm. But equally, it's very valuable to know that just resting your body is also very helpful at night. Mm. So if you can't sleep, just lie there, but not under pressure, wishing you could sleep. Just say, actually, you know what? I'm going to stay awake then. I found that tricks me sometimes, and I just fall straight to sleep. Try to stay awake despite being incredibly tired.
Yeah, trying to force yourself to sleep can keep you awake, can't it? Yeah.
Saying I can't get to sleep.
I've got to get up at 6. Oh.
So just saying, actually, do you know what? I'm going to lie here for the whole night. When I'm on planes, I'll do that. I'll just say, that's how I learned to sleep really well on planes, is to say, I'm not going to give myself a choice to not lie here. So I am going to lie here. I'm going to put on an eye mask. I'm going to put in earplugs. I'm going to lie here. I'm going to get comfortable. And I will stay here from New York to London. Mm-hmm. If it's 4 hours, I'm not moving. I'm not getting up. I'm not watching a movie. I'm not having any food. Even if I'm awake for the entire flight, I'm going to stay here with my eyes shut. And in the stages of sleep, basically the first stage is a very, very light sleep where you kind of feel like you're awake, but that's still sleep. So you can dip into that. I don't know if you had that feeling where you dip into that level of sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it's a very funny feeling, isn't it?
Awake. And then you look at your watch and think, oh, that's an hour and a half. That's incredible. So you know, yeah, if we've got lots of distractions and we can't sleep, then it's easy to think about how we go and, you know, we've got the mental choice, and should I do something else? So I think, like, in general, I would do what you do, get up, move around again, try and reset myself, try and go back to sleep. But if I can't get that, then it's like, right, I'm going to lie here till 6 a.m., whether I'm awake or not, with an eye mask on, with my eyes shut, and eventually, actually, once the concern about being asleep is taken away, quite often you just.
Yeah. I will do that. I think if I'm initially trying to get to sleep and I'm struggling, I will just think, I will get to sleep eventually, and I might not even remember that I've had this initial slight struggle to get to sleep, but maybe that's just. Whether it's just me in my current moment without kids, the luxury of being able to sleep without distractions and other noises and other things keeping me awake.
I mean, Nathan, who you know works with us, been in the military, that those guys are trained to drop off. Having kids does that. People who work shifts, that's another thing I used to say to myself if I was stressed about sleep while traveling. Like, people who do shifts, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they get up at 12 o'clock at night. So the mental framing can help.
Yeah.
But I personally also do not work late. So I like to switch off by 6 o'clock and do something else for the evening. And I think that also helps. I know that's a discipline for me. If I get in a habit of working late, if I'm talking about work, especially during stressful periods at work, if I then start talking about work to Steph when I have finished work, I'll try and remember to say to her, actually, do you know what? Let's have this conversation in the morning, because another hour chatting about X or Y is not really going to help.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch some comedy and go to bed.
Yeah, you've got to have that switch off time and that rest, even if it's not sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those kind of mental hygienes, mental disciplines are important.
They're really helpful. Yeah. Go on.
No. I think we might, after 26 shows, we might have run out of something to say.
that's good timing. Yeah, we should wrap up the show. What kind of habituators can we do to help us on our stories or on our sleep?
Let's just keep on the sleep for a moment. But there are some basic biological things to learn. Mm. So, for example, on Tuesday nights, I go out and do my chain gang. Very intense exercise. Finishes up about 9:30. You're not going to go straight to sleep after that. You're going to be awake for an hour and a half, 2 hours even. Yep. So, you know, if you are needing good sleep, get your vigorous exercise in early in the day. I used to play badminton until 10 o'clock at night as well. And, you know, it's just very hard to drop off when you've been in that area. Think about sleep as a priority. Think another big habit. Like, if you're going to put it in your diary, if you put other priorities in your diary, would you put sleep in your diary? I've got another friend who had a job that involved a lot of socializing. and they had a lot of people over for dinner as part of their work, and he would tell everyone when they arrived, by the way, I do go to bed at 10 o'clock, so you're welcome to stay, but I'll be going to sleep. And when we were over there for the dinner for the first time, that's exactly what happened. He's like, okay, see you guys next time, I'm off to bed. And you're like, this is so socially wrong. But because he was involved in so much social activity in the evenings, he just realized, you know what, I just need to go to sleep. I don't care if people are still at my house drinking and having a great time with my wife or my kids, whatever else, I'm going to bed. So I mean, I think that kind of quite dogmatic approach can help. I guess on the stories, that sort of micro level, maybe thinking about mastery, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to master something. So what do you want to master in your life? What do you want to really get good at as part of your story? King Arthur and his sword is a story of pulling a sword from a stone. There's no mastery there. But Mozart's story is, you know, becoming the most incredible composer. He had to put in the hours. So, you know, is there things that we want to practice or things that we can work on? What are the kind of things that we can take to the very max? And then also, you know, in terms of crafting, storytelling is a real art. We go and watch these movies and the thought that's been put into them, the understanding of narrative and of language and of characterization. If we want to be a more effective communicator, then working on some of those things would really help.
Those kind of things could help, knowing what we can master in our story to reach those goals that we want to achieve. And we have done with the show, we've been on a quest. We've done our 25 shows. We've come back.
Not like 10,000 hours, is it?
Not quite. Come back with a hot new release in the Amazon charts.
I was interested what you've learned through the process, though, because I mean, if this is our wrap up, we should do our learning review. What's been good?
What have you learned? I've learned a lot. There's been all sorts. We've covered lots of things: attitude, culture. I think there's been a lot on focusing on what you can control.
Yeah.
We often think of high performance as beating competition and getting something really rare, but actually just focusing on what you can control in terms of your inputs, your daily routines, your belief system, your attitude, what you can do to affect your culture, those kind of things, and sleep and stories, as we've talked about today, those things really help to achieve high performance.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be part of the story of your life, Chris. And I think, again, that's as soon as we can get out of this lockdown, it's another thing that we all need is other people are part of our story, and those connections between us are what makes life so rich and interesting.
Yeah, they're what accelerates life, aren't they?
Well, I wanted to thank you for hosting this show, creating the book, organise everything, listening to me drone on and on and on about.
Not at all. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your insights throughout the series.
Get you some flowers. No, it's been fun. Yeah,
it's been great. It's been great fun, and I'm looking forward to what's next.
Yeah, let's see what happens next. Let's do something crazy.
But yeah, we've put the story to bed with stories of sleep. It's the end of the show.
The end.
The end of the line.
Amen.
Don't forget, the A to Z of Human Performance is now available on Amazon Kindle Store. Get your copy now.